evening service of the month. So we'll share the Lord's Supper together later on. We've got Johnny Guy preaching for us in a bit. We'll meet him in a bit. If we haven't met him before, we probably all have done, but we'll catch up with Johnny in a while. Bless you. I'll just wipe myself down. There we go. Shall I pray for us before we get going? Father, thank you that we can gather together. Thank you for Johnny. Thank you for his ministry to us today. And we do pray that you would speak to us really clearly, as you always promise you will. And we ask that you would bless us by your word, through our worship of you, and through the prayers that we can pray to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, we're going to stand and sing our first song. We're going to sing of the glory and the might and the strength of God in the song, Behold Our God. Look to our God. Look to who he is and dwell on his character. So the music begins. Let's stand and sing together. We consider what you're like, who you are. When we consider your attributes, your perfection, we are in awe of you. Amen. Please do be seated. Behold our God, he is the high majesty, he's perfect in every way, and we're far from it. He never sins, he never does anything wrong, and yet we struggle not to sin. And yet, he calls us back to himself in grace and in love and in care. So we're going to use this next prayer to come back to him in repentance and faith. Trusting that he will forgive all of those who are repentant from the heart. So let's pray together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. God promises in his word that he will remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And Jesus has taken them off us and paid the price of them for us. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Amen. I don't know how you feel when you mess up, when things don't go right. When you know you've not lived God's way, it's very easy to think that we're weak, we are. It's very easy to think that Jesus will overlook us. He won't. So let's sing of his strength and his kindness in our next song, Jesus Strong and Kind. Time for a little bit of church family news. 5 weeks tonight, 21st of September, I think that's 5 weeks tonight, we have a confirmation and baptism service in here. It will be people from our churches and I think at least one other, maybe more. And we've got the rather excellent Bishop Rob Munro coming to preach for us and to do confirmations for us. So do come along to that. If you haven't been confirmed and you'd like to be, then do have a chat with me. If you haven't been baptised, I think everybody here has. But if you know somebody in the church family who hasn't, and it would be good for them to be baptised, maybe have a chat with them, see what they think about that. And they should. Oh, have we got any slides for these? I think we have. There we go. And the next one. There we go. He's back next week. Who? That's Ash Carter. You might have forgotten who he is. Been away for 3 months. Almost 4 months. So he's back next week. We all know him. Not everybody does. There could have been some people here who didn't. So let's give him a good welcome back next week. It'd be great to see him. Johnny, come and join me.
Thank you.
You need to stick your mic on.
It should be on. Is that coming through? How's that? Yeah? Great.
Good. Right, Johnny, you're Johnny. You've got a bit of a fold in the ministry coming, a page turner. What's happening with you in the next few weeks?
Yeah, so for the last just over 3 years, I've been the curate in the parish of Drypool, which is in East Hull, sort of East Park to the deep, basically. And on the 2nd of September, I will be licensed as the team vicar of Drypool. So I'm staying on permanently, which is great. My boss, the team rector, is a guy called Dave, who's been here a few times. So he's sticking around. He sort of leads one of the churches. I'm going to be leading the other two in the parish. So, yeah, really excited to be able to stick around long term.
So you get to do two churches?
Indeed. Yeah, yeah. Wow, the more the merrier, within reason. Yeah.
Brilliant. Remind us who your family are.
I'm married to Susie. We got married here. Well, it's kind of there, in 2016. And we're here for, she was here for 4 years, I was here for three. Then we left in 2019 for me to do my vicar training. And then since then, we've had Joey, who's just about to turn 5, and Libby, who's about to turn 3.
Fab. And how are they all feeling about staying on the patch?
Yeah, there's sort of a real mixture. It's weird because it's a change, because we'll be moving from St. Columbus to St. John's, but also we're moving house, but it's like half a mile down the road. So, it's kind of a mixture of new, but also a lot staying the same. But, I mean, there's a lot of transition for us as a family. So Joey's about to start school, so he's thinking a lot about that. We're kind of changing school, changing church. My role's changing sort of all at once, but... at the moment, they seem fine, but we only had our last Sunday in St. Columbus this morning, so we're kind of on the edge. The wave of change is about to sort of hit us, so I'll let you know in a few weeks, but wow. we're doing all right at the moment.
How are you feeling after the last Sunday there?
Yeah, well, strange, because it was a farewell, but also it was like, well, we'll see you around. we'll see you in Asda tomorrow, probably. So it wasn't a sort of hugely emotional farewell, because... like I say, we're still in the same parish, just at a different church. So it was nice in that sense that leaving here was really hard. I got really emotional because we were moving down to Oxford, whereas we're moving literally down the road. So it's quite nice that we'll still be able to be around just a little bit further away.
Once in Hull, always in Hull.
Apparently so. We're never leaving now.
you'd be surprised the number of clergy who start off in one job in Hull and just move to another job in Hull. In other parts of the country, people will move like hundreds of miles away. In Hull, we'll move hundreds of yards away. It's brilliant. Love it. Johnny, a few things we can pray for you?
Yeah, I think the main thing is for all this change going on, for me and Susie, as we sort of adjust to my role being different. Obviously, like, I know all the people at the new churches, but Susie doesn't really, because she and the family have been based at St. Columbus, so... yeah, I guess for them to make that transition, and I think especially for the kids, it'd be a lot of new people, new building. As I say, they're starting a new school and nursery, respectively, all at the same time, really. So, yeah, just for them, for Susie and I to do our best to care for them in that really disrupted time. And just for us to find our role, what does the Lord want us to do there? What are new things that need to start or whatever? Just for us to make that transition well,
fantastic.
I would say.
And what can we give thanks for over the last 3 years? That's a bit of a wide-ranging question, isn't it?
Yeah.
We didn't rehearse these before.
That's all right, yeah. No. I mean, I don't know, it feels cheeky to say, but my beloved Aston Villa have been in the Champions League in the last 3 years, so maybe that's a personal one. But no, more seriously, No, there's exciting things, you know, seeing, like, as I hear you are here, you know, there's a kind of mixture of a lot of people at our churches who've been around for a long time and a lot of people who've just sort of rocked up in the last few years, few months even. So that's really exciting. There seems a real, a lot of people that are really just open to some good news. And so we're thankful for that, for kind of people who we've seen coming to faith in Jesus already and some people who are seemingly on the start of that journey. And we're really thankful to be able to stay around as well. You know, we love this place. Like I said, we got married there. It feels like as a family, it's our home. And so we're really thankful that we can stick around and, put down some thick roots and see what happens.
Great. Fantastic. Johnny, we'll hear from you a little bit later on.
Great.
Thank you. We're going to turn to pray. And let's turn into groups to pray. Let's pray for Johnny and the things that he said and ask for prayer for. For anything else, if you don't want to send us to a group, you want to pray by yourself, that's absolutely fine too. So, about 3 minutes, go. In a little while's time, we're going to have our Bible reading, and the Bible reading is some of us may know what happens in it, others of us won't, and it's if we don't know the true story of it particularly well, or if we don't know it at all, it's going to seem quite weird, to say the least. So we're going to sing this next song as a prayer, asking the Lord to show us Christ as we dive into his words in a few moments' time. So let's stand to sing In God. So together we say, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts by grace through faith, and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high, and speaks to us clearly through his word, the Bible. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please do be seated, and Liz is going to come and bring our Bible reading for us.
Thank you. Our reading this evening is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 30, and can be found on page 3 in the church Bibles. That's Genesis 1, 1 to 30.
Genesis 29.
Sorry, 29.
It's 29, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Page 30 in the church Bibles. Yeah, didn't practice it. Not practice the wrong thing. Okay. Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the field with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the shepherds, "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they replied. He said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" "Yes, we know him," they answered. Then Jacob asked them, "Is he well?" "Yes, he is," they said. "And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep." "Look," he said, "the sun is still high. It is not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to pasture." "We can't," they replied, "until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep." While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. When Jacob saw Rachel's daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to lie with her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he worked for Laban for another 7 years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Well, yeah, Father, as John said, this in some ways seems an odd passage with some odd happenings going on. Help us to see Christ in it this evening, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's always nice to be back here. Had happy years here. Although I was slightly dreading coming today, only because I was meant to come 2 months ago. And I was too ill to come, I'll put it that way. I won't fill in the details. And then a month ago, I was due to come here. And sadly, I couldn't come because I was traveling down for a family funeral. So I sort of thought, okay, third time lucky, or what's going to happen this time? But thankfully, as far as I know, nothing bad's happened. So it's great to be here. And as we start, I wonder who your hero is. Do you have a hero? Maybe a figure from history, maybe a family member who you look up to, maybe a football player. Growing up, it was definitely a football player for me. It was David Beckham, if you must know. A visionary, a great inventor or someone. I wonder who it is. Who was your hero? Well, many people in the world we live in think that the Bible is a book of heroes. People we should emulate and look up to and copy. Great examples to us all. But if we've read the Bible much at all, we soon realize that that is not the case. There are a few notable examples, one in particular, but for the most part, the Bible is full of very ordinary people doing often some fairly terrible things to one another, and God picking up the pieces. And one of those people is Jacob, who we heard about in the reading, the ultimate deceiver. His name, Jacob, apologies, I don't think anyone here is called Jacob, are they? If so, your name means heel grabber or like usurper. And I guess it's a bad sign, isn't it? If God kind of directly tells your parents, call your son a heel grabber, you know it's not going to go too well. And that's really what we find in Jacob's life in the Bible. At this point in his narrative, in his life, he has stolen his birthright from his older brother Esau. So now Jacob, through deception, has the rights of the firstborn, of inheritance and his role in the family. So he's stolen that. He's also stolen a blessing from his brother in a sort of ritualistic ceremony. The older brother, Esau, should have been blessed. Jacob stole that as well. And he did that by lying to his dad, by pretending to be his brother. And so he's run away from his problems. He's sort of mounted up a few problems. One solution to our problems is to run away, isn't it? It's not a good solution, but it is a solution that many people choose. And so he finally arrives at our point in the reading, where he's been heading, his uncle's house, a long way away from all his problems. Or maybe the setting for some new problems. And he meets a girl. And Jacob, the scoundrel, has his head turned and his heart softened by the lovely Rachel. We're told she has a lovely figure and is beautiful. And so maybe this is the turning point for Jacob. We've seen in the last few chapters of Genesis, go and have a read later if you get a chance, just how much of a deceiver Jacob is. He's got himself into all sorts of problems. Maybe this is the turning point in his life. Maybe she'll make him an honest man. Maybe he's going to grow up, take some responsibility for himself, start a family. Maybe this is a new chapter. And it seems more than just a passing fancy. He says that he'll work for her for 7 years. This is real love. And it says they seem like only a few days because of his love for her. Just sweet, isn't it? Young love. Very nice. And it seems like they're all going to live happily ever after. All going to live happily ever after. How lovely. But sadly, that's not how it goes, is it? Because his uncle Laban arranges a wedding ceremony, all going well, happiest day of their lives, and he switches the sisters around. We don't know sort of logistically how that happens. Maybe Jacob was too drunk to notice what was happening. Maybe she kept her veil on. Maybe the lighting was bad. Whatever happens, he doesn't realize that, in fact, he's there with Leah. And he gets an almighty shock in the morning. I'm sure you'd be surprised if that happens. And then his uncle Laban says, okay, yeah, sorry about that. You can marry Rachel for another 7 years of work. It's not going well. To put it lightly, the Jerry Springer Show ran for 27 years. I wonder if you've ever had the misfortune of watching that. It's where members of the public would come on. It was like the Jeremy Kyle Show, but kind of times at least 10. They'd come on with a really complex and genuinely traumatic home situations, talk about them, and then basically people in the audience would just kind of laugh at them. It's a really unedifying spectacle. Famous episodes included I Married a Horse. I'm Happy I Cut Off My Legs. Pregnant by the Same Teen Dad. And My Stepmom is Trying to Steal My Man. So those are a few of the real-life situations that were paraded out on the Jerry Springer Show for all to see. I say that because Jacob and his family surely could have made it onto the Jerry Springer Show if that was a thing. You know, my dad tricked my husband into marrying my sister. That is perfect fodder for the Jerry Springer show. It's an absolute mess. Jacob's life, wherever he goes, he just creates mess. Mess seems to just be drawn to him. And here, his uncle Laban is a really nasty individual, controlling everyone like puppets, tricking Jacob, using his daughters as pawns in his game, just for his own benefit. I mean, think of those poor sisters. They had no choice or no agency in this matter. They were just forced to do what their dad told them to do, pawns in his game, played off each other. Leah is stuck married to someone who fancies her sister. Rachel has found someone who's crazy about her and has to share him with her sister. Again, really feel sorry for them. But think also of Jacob. You know, he's actually kept his word for once. He's worked 7 years for Rachel, as was the agreement. A seven-year engagement. That's a long time to wait to marry the one that you love. And then he's tricked, and he's violated, and he's deceived. What a mess. This is definitely one of the bits of the Bible. Hopefully this is kind of stating the obvious, but important to say it just anyway. One of the bits of the Bible that is descriptive, not prescriptive. That is, this is saying, look how messed up things got, not go and do this. There's been recent stories, haven't there, in the news about MasterChef. I don't know if anyone watches that. But all sorts of allegations that are seemingly true about the two presenters, claims of inappropriate language, very inappropriate behavior, and yeah, all sorts of stuff. And the news coverage that's been sort of presenting that as the news has got out hasn't been doing that to kind of give us hints and tips and tricks for how to act ourselves. It's been reporting what's happened in all its gruesome detail. And so it is with the story of Jacob and his family. This is not God's plan for marriage. This is what happens when things get really, really, really wrong. Yeah, there's many horrendous things within the Bible's pages that are reported about. There's murder, and there's incest. There's all sorts of stuff that I won't go into too many details, but it makes Jerry Springer look like Blue Peter in quite a lot of places. And often we read, you know, the certain bits that we read, and it's just kind of encouraging, and it builds us up, and that's great. There's certain bits, a lot of the narrative stuff in books like Genesis or Judges, we read it and we're disgusted. And that's the point. That's what God wants us to feel. You know, some things that happen in the lifetime of the people in the Bible are just sort of different culturally. Some things are just plain wrong, and God wants us to see that and to feel that. And Jacob's story is full of people hurting each other left, right, and center, and creating an almighty mess. This is not what God wants. God tells us his design for marriage way back in Genesis 2, doesn't he? Just a few chapters before. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and become one flesh. Well, here we have a man will run away from his father and mother and be united to his wife, who he thinks is someone else, and then be united to a second wife and try and be one flesh with two people at the same time. That's not God's plan for marriage. What a mess. So we should feel sorry for Jacob. And yet, it's not that long since he himself was the deceiver. Remember, he pretended to be his brother to deceive his dad. Well, now his uncle has pretended Leah is her sister to deceive him. What goes around has come around. He's getting a taste of his own medicine. And Proverbs, the Bible's book of wisdom, or at least one of them, says this in chapter 22, verse 8. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. We reap what we sow. Now, really important to be clear, it's not saying that whenever something bad happens to us, it's our fault. It's not saying that. It's not saying whenever something bad happens to us, it's our fault, because it isn't always. Sometimes bad things just happen to us. In our church at St. Columba's, Dave did a series on Job a while ago. And we see that time again. Bad stuff happened to Job that was not his fault. But when bad things happen to us, sometimes it is our fault. If we make the wrong decisions or trust the wrong people or tell a little white lie here and there and don't live in God's ways in various ways, often it comes back and bites us. God loves us so much that he gives us the freedom to make choices, which includes making mistakes and bearing the consequences and learning from them. Again, in Proverbs, this time chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, it says this, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father disciplines the son he delights in." So Jacob is reaping what he's sown, and God is allowing this to happen to Jacob so that Jacob can learn a really valuable lesson. And God is not doing that because he hates Jacob, but because he loves him. God allows us to make mistakes, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. And sometimes the only way we learn is by making mistakes. Later in Genesis, Jacob does learn from his mistakes, at least a bit. But for now, what a mess he's in. What a mess he has at least contributed to make. I think some of the bravest people in the world are firefighters. They go into the most dangerous places in the world to save us. But even firefighters are sometimes instructed to not enter a building due to safety concerns. If there's structural instability, if there's hazardous materials, if the fire is just too severe, sometimes a fire is too dangerous even for a firefighter. Well, in Jacob's story, we've seen Jacob himself, Isaac, Laban, Rebecca, and various other people set the world on fire. People in Jacob and his family have been hurting themselves and others, pouring more and more fuel on the fire. We see that throughout Genesis, we see that all throughout Scripture. And God sees us doing that all the time as well, setting the world on fire. I mean, just look at the news. Humans are great at setting the world on fire. And look within your own family and friendships. We humans are great at starting fires, at often trying to make things better and making things worse, and at hurting each other. And so whilst we can look at Jacob and his story and be appalled by lots of it and sort of think, oh, I'd never do that. I can't believe what he's done. When we're honest, sometimes we're not so different from Jacob and his family. We get things really, really wrong as well. We're really good at making a massive mess. And the fire in Jacob's life, you know, no one sensible would touch that fire. It's too severe. We couldn't blame God if he said, I'm just going to leave them to it. I'm not getting involved in that. They're too far gone. And yet, he does the opposite. He sees the fire they've made. He sees the fire that we make. And as we remember at Christmas time, Jesus jumped right into the center of the fire to rescue us. And he knew he'd die in the rescue attempt, but he still jumped right in. And he got us out. And he did die. And he did that willingly to save us. So what a mess we make. What a savior we have. And so what is this that we've seen in this ancient book mean for us today? Well, it could be that some of us are are worried, that our lives and our situations are too messy for God to get involved. We set off too many fires. If that's us, God says, let me save you. Don't try and put it out yourself. I'll jump right into the fire with you and get you out. Some of us, probably many of us here this evening have done that. We're a Christian. Jesus has saved us. Hallelujah. I don't know our life situations. Maybe some of us tonight are at the moment are feeling the Lord's hand of discipline, are paying the price for bad decisions and finding it really hard and crying out for it to end. Well, as we saw God say in Proverbs, he's letting this happen because he loves us. When he disciplines us, we do learn from it. We become stronger. And so he calls us to trust him. Because whatever we're experiencing won't last forever. And so if you're either of those people, if you're experiencing the flames of your own bad decisions or the hand of God's discipline, as a next step, I encourage you to spend some time in prayer. Why not stay and pray after the service? Plenty of time to do that. Or ask a trusted friend to pray with you. Because when things are hard, either when it's things are outside of us or us ourselves who've caused it, God does not want our struggles to drive us from him, but to lead us back to him. And one day we'll be able to look back and say, wow, look at how he got me through that. Until then, we can pray and trust our Father who sees the bigger picture. So what a mess Jacob made. What a savior we have. And I'm going to pray to that savior. God of mercy, who sent your son to save us, remind us of your goodness. Increase your grace within us, that our thankfulness may grow. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Johnny, thank you very, very much indeed. If we focused on our own mishaps, our own mess-ups, we'd have no hope, would we? We'd feel as if we were under condemnation. We'd feel like everything was just permanently pear-shaped. But we do have hope in Christ. And we have no guilt in life, no fear in death, because he has dealt with that for us. So let's stand to sing In Christ Alone. Daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We continue in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us spiritually with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen indeed. Well, we've had our eyes fixed on the God who repairs stuff, the God who takes care of us, even in times when we make a complete hash of stuff. We're rooted in him, in the one gospel. Let's stand to sing our final song. There is one gospel on which I stand. We don't stand on our own security, our own selves, do we? We would fall over within seconds. We stand on the gospel for all eternity.